Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word that's living and active. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. God, it goes down into the innermost part of us. Thank you that it's powerful to change us, Lord, and that it's evidence that you love us, God, that you give us a word. You give us these words from this book, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts to receive what you have, Lord, and that you would speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would minister to us where we're at, and that you would be glorified in this time, Lord. You would be exalted, you'd be lifted up, and that we'd see you more clearly, God. So have your way in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been in here for a little bit now. Hebrews 11. And we've been looking at different characters, different people from the Old Testament. I want to remind you of the purpose of the book of Hebrews. The author's trying to encourage the believers to stick with Jesus, right? Things have been tough for them. And they're tempted to go back to what they're used to, which is Judaism. And the author here is encouraging them, saying, there's no life there in the Old Testament sacrificial system. Those things were preparing you to receive Christ. And now that you've believed in Christ, now it's time to walk by faith, even when times are tough. And so he's continually encouraging them, don't drift away. Don't neglect your salvation. Hold fast to what you received. And there's times in our lives where we need this word, right? Where we're struggling. We have highs and lows throughout life. And some of you guys are in the low part right now. Some of you might be in a high. But the important thing for both of us to understand is that Jesus wants to be there with us through the highs and through the lows of life. And the author is seeking to encourage the believers, stick with Jesus. It's always going to be better with Jesus. And he's using, in Hebrews 11, he's saying, here are some examples of people who have run their race and they finished their race. They lived a life of faith. They weren't perfect, but when it was all said and done, they lived lives of faith. They had these big moments where they chose to act in faith and God honored their faith. And so we've been seeing people like Moses and Abel, different people who we can look at and say, wow, these are people that finished their course well. How is it that we could finish well as God's people? And the author here is going to speak about Rahab. We'll kind of pass by verse 30 for a moment and circle back to it. But in verse 31, there's a lady named Rahab. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And so we're going to be looking at this story. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. We'll kind of get deeper into it. Joshua chapter 2. We'll be looking at most of the chapter here. Just to set the context here, Moses led the people of God out of Egypt, right, in the previous book of Exodus. And so he dies, he takes them to the very edge of it, and God tells him, you can't come in because of some things that he did, and basically that Joshua is going to be the one that takes the people into the promised land. So Moses delivers the people from slavery, and Joshua is called upon to bring the people into the promised land. And so they're getting ready to possess the land. And notice with me in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, go, view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And so Joshua sends these two spies on a mission. He says, we're going to begin to take over the land that God's promised us. Sends two of the spies. They're interested in Jericho. And so these spies go there, and it says they meet someone named Rahab, and she was a prostitute. And what I want us to see in this story is that God's grace comes to the unlikely people in our world. Think about the people that you see on the street. You might see someone walking by on the street, maybe they're kind of promiscuous, or maybe they're homeless, or there's people that we write off, right? We're more comfortable with people who sin like we do. In church, some of us have some of similar struggles. We see someone out there that's kind of a little crazy, or they're very promiscuous. It makes us uncomfortable. We see someone, two guys holding hands on State Street. What's your reaction in those moments? Is it, I'm casting judgment on them? Do I pray for them? Do I avoid that situation? What the story of Rahab says is that God's grace comes to people who are most far from God. The people who are furthest from God oftentimes are more closer than you realize. And so we don't want to limit what God wants to do in our lives. There's been many times where I've gotten a conversation with someone and I realize, like, wow, I totally misjudged this person. Like, I first kind of sized them up and I thought, oh, they're not going to want to hear about God. But then I realized this person's actually more open than I envisioned. And so we have to allow the Lord to be the one who saves. We don't want to cast judgment on people. We want to pray for them and know that our God is big enough to save whoever he wants. God sovereignly led the spies to Rahab's house. He could have led the spies anywhere, but he chose to lead them to Rahab's house. They were on a mission, right? They had a certain mission that we want to get some intel to know how can we attack Jericho. But God had his purposes within that mission, right? And as we go about our jobs, as you guys are in school, you have friends, you have certain family, you have to know, like, when you're hanging out with people, you might have your reasons for hanging out with them. School, you might want to get good grades, get a good job. Those aren't bad things, but I want us to recognize God's deeper purposes in those things. God has placed you where he's placed you for a reason. And the spies could have missed that if they would have just been task-driven, right? Oftentimes, we get so focused on being, okay, I got to go to the store, I got to go to work, got to watch the kids. Those are all good things, but if we're not careful, we can miss what God's doing underneath those things. And there's been times where God has checked me on this, where I'm going to the store and I see someone and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that person for a while. I don't really want to see him right now. But God works in my heart like, hey, you should reach out. This is an opportunity to reach out to that person. Your family might be dysfunctional, but God has sovereignly placed you there for a reason. And so I pray that God would give us eyes to see these situations as we go about our daily life. He would give us eyes to see the people that are around us, because God is always about people, right? We want people to come to church, right? So we invite them and say, hey, you should come to group, you should come to AA, you should come to this thing and see, right? But our faith is primarily a go and tell religion, right? It's a go and tell faith. It's not merely like, hey, we just hope you come here. The gospel beckons us to go out. It beckons us to say, hey, we're going to bring Jesus to people, not just tell them to come to church. And so I pray that God would give us this heart. I love how the spies went there and they got hit with something they weren't ready for. But they rose to the occasion. And so we see here, in light of Rahab's past, that faith leads to freedom from the past. I want you to think about this woman for a moment. Her life's about to change. She's had a past. A lot of men in her life, right? She's been paid for her services. And she's about to have a life change. And there are so many people around us, you guys, who the heart of our God breaks for. They're broken. They've been living a life that's contrary to God's will. And I pray as we read this story that God would move in our hearts not to cast judgment upon people like that. Like we say, wow, what are these guys doing in a prostitute's house? Well, God wants to save this woman. I pray that God would give us this heart that when we see people that are far from God, that we would pray, that we'd seek God, say, Lord, please bring them to yourself, that we wouldn't just walk the other way, but that we would engage with them. We would begin to understand, why are they like that? Like, what have they been through in their life before just saying, you're wrong, get to know them, love on them, show them the love of Jesus. And these people, these spies, they come, they meet this woman, and you got to understand something about the Canaanites. These people were very wicked, okay? They would put their babies, live babies, in jars, and they would build them into the foundation of buildings. They would suffocate, they would bake, they would die. They would be foundation sacrifices, okay? This is the culture that Rahab is growing up in. She's living in a society that's it's sexually charged, it's filled with idol worship. When they would worship different idols, that was oftentimes accompanied by sex, by orgies, those kinds of things. These were dark days in which Rahab grew up in. She was living in a city that was about to experience the wrath of God being poured out. That's how wicked it was. She didn't have a lot of the spiritual privileges that you and I have been born with. The opportunity to hear about God, to hear about Jesus, she didn't have those things. And so this makes it all the more amazing that she would respond in faith when the spies come to her. She's an encouragement to all of us about our past life, right? Think about your past. And some of you might have some things that haunt you. Some of you have never shared with people certain things about your past. And I want the story of Rahab to encourage you that Jesus loves you and he knows all about those things. And there's freedom for you. Some people have asked me, what's the best thing that you've experienced here at church, you know? And I was thinking through it, and I think one of the biggest blessings that I've experienced is seeing the transparency that we can have as brothers and sisters in the community group. I see the leaders, I see you guys here at church, and getting to meet with you guys, like, it's been such a blessing. I was thinking about this morning, I was smiling because I'm thinking about the sermon, but then I'm thinking about you guys, and I'm like, man, I love these guys. And I see God working in you, and I see God bringing that transparency. And so I just want to say, keep doing it. If you're confessing and you're like, man, this is where I'm struggling, or I'm struggling with my past, I want to encourage you to keep confessing. And if you haven't done that, if you're like, I really want to talk to someone about these issues I have, I would encourage you, this is a safe place to do that. We'd love to meet with you. We want to see you walk in the freedom that Christ has set you free for. And so this woman, her past, she was about to experience this freedom. This is the first step to freedom for her. And she welcomes the purposes of God for her life, right? She welcomes the people of God. She welcomes the spies, and she says, I want to be on this side. I don't want to associate and stand with my people, because my people, God's judgment's about to come upon. I want to go with you guys. Notice what it says in verse 2. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. And so these guys from the king come, and apparently the spies weren't amazing spies because they got caught. So someone saw them and they said, okay, these spies went to the house of the prostitute. Go check it out. And so they come, they're interviewing her, like, what happened? Where are they? We know you have them. And she lies. She tells three lies. They're not here. They came, they went, they're gone. And remember her context, remember her background. Her methods of ministry weren't amazing. She's lying. It's a sin. That's not pleasing to God. Some people debate on whether it's right or wrong, but I'll just say this. God saw her heart behind the lie. God saw the intention behind the lie. And oftentimes in this day and age, the laws of hospitality would almost overrule. When someone would come in your house, you wanted to protect them, right? She was committed to the God of Israel. She didn't have it all figured out, right? She was a prostitute. She was a liar. But God honored her faith. In the Bible, when God talks about Rahab, never commends her lie, but it always commends her faith. It always commends her welcoming of the spies, her sending them out another way in the book of James. And so we got to know this. When people come to Christ, when people begin their faith journey, there's going to be some rough edges, right? You remember your own life. And I specifically remember in my life, there's just certain moments you remember, you know? There's certain things you're like, that was very immature of me to do. Or that was very mature of me to say, and someone called me out on it. I'll never forget in high school, I kind of started walking with the Lord when I was around 17. And I said something that wasn't nice and about someone. This girl called me out and she said, you shouldn't say that. And I just remember the Holy Spirit like just nailing me because she wasn't a believer. But I felt so convicted. I was like, wow. This person who doesn't know Christ is calling me out who's trying to walk with Christ. And I felt so convicted. But that's a loving thing that God did for me. I'll never forget that. And there are times in our lives where people will call us out. How do we respond to those things? We want to respond with humility. But it's a model that we should show grace to people who are beginning in their faith journey, right? We don't want to be nitpicking every little thing that someone's doing wrong. We want to be gracious. We want to be loving. We want to be patient. The Bible says that a servant of the Lord must be patient with all. That means sometimes you're not always going to tell them what they're doing wrong. You're going to bear with. You're going to try to encourage them in the gospel. You're going to be patient with them as God has been patient with you. And so this is a condition that Rahab is in. She's beginning her journey of faith. And she hides the spies. And then it says in verse 8, before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. And so we see here that Rahab's faith led her to take action in the present. Right? Rahab's faith leads her to take action in the present. So because she believed in who God was and is, she moved with godly fear, right? That moved her in God's direction. Notice what she says there. She speaks in verse 8. The things that she knows about God. Where did she get these things from? It was hearsay. She didn't even have what the Israelites had. Right? The five books of the Bible or the law of Moses, she had none of that. This was all people coming through Jericho, probably. Maybe some people coming through her house. And she'd hear, like, people be like, oh, did you hear about, like, God split the Red Sea? And God did this for them, and they conquered this land. And she took those things, and she believed by faith. Amazing faith. And I think about stories. Someone was telling me the other week about, I think it was some people in China who are writing out the Bible by hand. And like they completed the whole Bible, like just writing out by hand. And just treasuring the Word of God, you know. Hell, they'll circulate like pages of the Bible. And I was like, wow. Like every time I hear that, I'm just like, oh my gosh, you guys, like we have the whole Word of God here, but like, are we even reading it, you know? And it's like, it's so hard for us sometimes because we get so distracted. We get so wrapped up with other things. But when I hear stories like that, I'm like, wow, these people really value the Word of God, because when you don't have God's Word, it's a lot easier to hunger for it. You know what I mean? When it's so available, it's like we become used to it. Just like you drive around town. I was with my buddy yesterday, and I'm like, this place is amazing. Like, look at the mountains. But it takes me, like, shifting my mind. Wait, I've grown up here my whole life. I'm used to it. So I have to, like, look at it with, like, some different eyes. Sometimes we don't realize what we have. Rahab had very limited knowledge about who God is. And she responded to that knowledge, and God sent the spies her way. He had a plan to save her. He wanted to use the spies. Notice what she says there in verse, it's kind of the highlight verse. Got to find it. Verse 11. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God, in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. It's an amazing confession from a woman who doesn't have that background that we have, who didn't have a lot of the knowledge that we have from God's word. She responded to the limited knowledge she had in faith, and God honored her faith. Her faith caused her to take action. We see in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, it speaks about Rahab and her faith. It spoke about Abraham the verse before, and it says in verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? The whole point of James's book is he's saying, we pit it against Paul, right? Paul's like, we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. We're not saved by our works. But then James is saying here, it seems like you're saying, well, we're saved by works and faith. But what he's saying is that the true grace of God, when you experience the grace of God truly, it will produce works. It will be accompanied by good works. Right? Rahab's life, it was rough. It's going to take some time for her to grow, just like it takes us time to grow. People come to Christ, and then they begin that process of sanctification, of growing to be more like Christ. But Rahab's faith, she's used as an example here of someone that took action. And for us, there are things that are inconsistencies in our life with what we say we believe and what we're actually practicing, right? The times you get frustrated at the kids, right? The times you're at your work and you're like, man, I know I should be working as unto the Lord, but I just feel like my attitude's totally wrong here. I'm not doing that. I want to be pure before the Lord, but I'm struggling here. There's times where what we say we believe and the struggles that we encounter are kind of opposite, and the goal of the Christian life is to start bringing what we say we believe with our practice. We start bringing those things closer. And that's why Paul would encourage us throughout the epistles. He's saying in the beginning, this is who you've been made in Christ. You've been brand new. You've been washed. You've been cleansed. You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're a new creation. And then the last chapters, he'll say, okay, so live in light of who God's made you to be. Live in light of the gospel. You are new. When you choose sin, you're choosing to pretend like you're still a slave. You're not. The chains have been broken. You've been set free. And this is what we have to understand. This isn't to condemn us. This is to say God has freedom for us. And so how do we bridge that gap between our practice and what we say we believe? We've talked about this often, but I believe James 5 speaks about this. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I believe that's crucial. In my life as a believer, I'd say that's one of the biggest things for me that has helped me grow in my relationship with Christ. Being honest with my brothers and sisters and saying, this is where I'm struggling. Can you pray for me? Can you ask me next week how I'm doing? And this is how we grow. As we humble ourselves before the Lord, he gives us grace. And so I've been so encouraged with some of you entering into that and just saying, hey, I'm going to be open. I'm going to be honest. The Lord loves that. Keep doing it. True faith causes us to work. What are the areas in your life that are at odds with your position in Christ? We're going to be taking communion in a bit. And this is a great time to kind of reset, to kind of say, okay, like, these are the things I'm struggling with. I'm going to confess those to God, and I'm going to receive the blood of Jesus over me. And I'm going to remind myself of the gospel. I'm going to remind myself that I'm not saved by works, like Rahab. She wasn't shown favor because of her moral character, because of her methods of ministry, because of her gifts. She was shown favor because of her faith. The same with us. When we choose to put our faith in Jesus, we find ourselves on that path of blessing. She was willing to say yes to God. She surrendered to God's purposes, not only herself, but her family, right? She wanted her family saved. Such an amazing woman. She's not just thinking, if I get out of her, that's awesome. She's like, okay, I want to make a deal. My whole family gets saved. I love that heart. God honors her faith, even though it was in its infant stages. And she had very specific instructions regarding what to do. We see in verse 13, that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward you may go on your way. The men said to her, we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear. And she said, according to your word, so be it. Then she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. So you see her dialogue with the spies, very specific instructions that she received, right? They told her, once we start coming, you got to have all your family here. You got to put this scarlet cord in the window. Kind of reminds us of what we see in the Passover. Some similar imagery. there is a certain sign that you have to have, right? For the Passover, it was you must be under the blood of the Lamb. Your household will be saved. Your son won't die. For Rahab, this would be a sign to her of salvation. For us who know Christ, obviously, the way that we're saved is through Christ, right? John the Baptist said this as Jesus came on the scene. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In the book of Hebrews, it's stressing the need, the fact that blood and bulls and these sacrifices can never take away sins. They were only a temporary covering. They were only a foreshadow of what was to come in Christ. But Christ, for us, is the perfect spotless Lamb of God. He's the one who not only covers it, he takes away the sins of the world. He would take away the sin of the prostitutes and the tax collectors. We see Jesus spending time with these people throughout his ministry. And he spoke to the Pharisees and he told them that the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. It's an amazing thing how Jesus is reversing this whole thing, right? We usually think the religious people are closest to being there with God, but oftentimes they're the farthest away. Their moralism, what keeps people from God oftentimes is not the blatant sins. It's actually your goodness. It's your righteousness. It's you thinking that you could bring something to the table with God. What you don't realize is that you're more farther than you would think. And that's why Jesus tells the Pharisees, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they're going to the kingdom of heaven before you. Why? Because they see their need. They understand that they need a Savior. Rahab understood that she needed saving. She followed the specific instructions that the spies gave her. And in Joshua 6, we see that as the people of God marched around the city and the walls came down, that they honored the word that they gave to Rahab. They honored the word that they spoke to her. And she actually became identified with the people of God. She said, "I'm going to leave my people. I understand that God's wrath is coming upon my people. I want in with the people of God." And God honored that. She was eventually brought in to be God's people. So much so, we find her in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. That's so crazy to me. Because we're like, okay, I know Jesus hangs out with people who are tax collectors and prostitutes, but for Jesus to say, not only am I going to identify with these people in my ministry, I'm actually going to identify with Rahab in my genealogy. That's a whole nother thing. Your family does something kind of shady, brings shame. Like, that's not cool. You got to get right. We distance ourselves. That's not how we raised you to be. Jesus says, "I'm going to identify with this woman." She's the only one in Hebrews 11 that has something negative by her name. It's interesting. Rahab, the prostitute. I believe God didn't put that in there to shame her. God put that in there to be a powerful testimony to us that no one's outside God's reach. She's free. Your past no longer defines you. Your Savior defines you. Remember that. There's things that we have to battle from the past, things that were done to us, things that we've done to others and ourselves. You need to speak the gospel truth over yourself. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. You are Christ. You are no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. I love Hebrews 2, verse 11. It says this, the NLT. "So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and his sisters." I love that verse. Jesus is not ashamed to call you brothers and sisters this morning. no matter your past, no matter your current struggles, Jesus is not ashamed. He took all the shame on himself at the cross. It's all love for you this morning. Nothing can separate you from the light, the love of God. And so the call for us is to live in light of who he's called us to be. When we see the Rahabs of the world, I want us to be thinking this week and praying through that God will give us a heart of compassion for people who sin differently than us. As we go into communion, that we would recognize our desperate need for a Savior. That when we judge people and we feel like we're better than them, and how could they do that? When we use language like that, like, how could that person do that? I would never do. You know what that's saying? You're self-righteous. That's a self-righteous spirit. When we understand the depth of our depravity, and that if you grew up that way, how they did, you might be in the same things. You might be doing the same things. It's only by the grace of God that we are what we are. That you have the spirit that God's given you. That maybe God's given you a soft heart. That's a gift from God. You could have been born in a different place, under different circumstances. Your life might have looked totally different. It's all grace. Jesus says that those who have been forgiven much love much. I love that because we've all been forgiven more than we can ever realize. But the more that we understand that, the more we're going to extend that forgiveness to others. The more humble we'll be because we realize it's all level ground at the foot of the cross, you guys. No one has an upper hand at the foot of the cross. We're all sinners in need of saving. And so I pray that the Lord would give us a heart of compassion for people as we go into a ton of communion. I pray that we'd reflect and say, where have I been self-righteous? Where have I been looking down upon the people who sin differently than me? From my past, where am I struggling to move forward? Do I need to meet with someone soon? Do I want to reach out? I want you to recognize something with Rahab, is that the transformation happened in community. The two spies came to her. What would have happened if they didn't come? I don't know. But we have to understand that we've been given a gift in the body of Christ. You've been given to me. I've been given to you. All of you have been given to each other to come alongside each other. And so let someone in if you're struggling with letting go of something from your past. Let's pray, and then we'll get into time of communion.